Good evening. Y'all sure do have some good song leaders. And you have a lot of good singers, too. I mean, it's a joy to worship with some people that like to sing and enjoy doing that and sing out. So often you go places and, you know, people seem to be afraid to do that, to sing out. And yet, that's one of the things that God has asked us to do. Yeah, not just ask, but he has told us that that was what we must do in our worship. Teaching our children and teaching each other to be obedient to what God says is paramount in any discussion. The Bible tells us that to obey is better than sacrifice. But sometimes we think we've got a better handle on it than God does to do that. And yet we have a tendency to think that, well, I can either fall out of love or I can fall into love. But we are told that you can be trained to love your husbands. The word that's used here for love is the word phileo. It's not the word agape. So you can be taught how to love your husbands in that way. In fact, in both ways. And our culture seems to tell us something different. How many marriages in this country end in divorce because someone says, well, I just don't love. When it talks about a woman being a worker or a keeper at home, we have a tendency to say, when we talk about work, we'll ask a woman, we'll say, well, do you work? And sometimes she says no. If she's at home with her children, she sure is working. Sometimes is we've minimized the things that wives and mothers do. And we do it because we joke about it. We do it because we don't fully understand exactly what it is that they do. Sometimes if we would recognize that that's what they did and thank them for being our helpmate and for supporting us in what we do. Without the help of our wives, things would fall apart. I don't know of any preacher that could do the work that he does if his wife was not a helpmate and a support and an encouragement. And I would say that's probably true in every walk of life. You as a husband, if you're successful in what you're doing, one of the reasons you are successful is because of your wife and because of how she supports you. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 1 through 7, Peter talks about a wife and what her role is. And even if you are married to a man that is not a Christian, what Peter says is it doesn't change the role between a man and a woman, which tells me that what God said in the very beginning at creation, when he created Adam and Eve, wasn't dependent upon whether or not they were Christians. That was God's purpose and God's design for all mankind for all time. But what she is told to do is she is told to be in subjection to her husband, that by her chaste behavior that she might win him. A woman is a person of honor and is to be honored. In verse 7 it says, ye husbands in like manner, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the woman as unto the weaker vessel, as being also joint heirs of the grace of life to the end that your prayers be not hindered. Greatly value her where she was in the midst. And Jesus lifted up himself and said unto her, woman, where are they? Did no man condemn thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way, from henceforth sin no more. Jesus forgave her. The thing that we seem to forget about our Lord and about God is that God can take people who are hurting. God can take people who are broken. God can take people who have sinned. And He can make a way for them like they have never seen before. He can raise them up to positions and to heights that are unimaginable. And even in the genealogy of Jesus Himself, there, notice the description of this woman. And what it says about her is that she's doing all of this with the benefit, for the benefit of her family and her children, under the guise of her husband. The heart of her husband trusteth in her. This is not a picture of a career woman. This is not a picture of a woman that goes out and abandons her children and leaves them to other people to be reared. This is a woman who puts God first and her husband and her children, and everything she does revolves around that goal. And it was his grandmother that taught him the Scriptures. Let me say something about the role of grandparents. We live in a society in which a lot of times when people get older and they grow up, they leave home and they scatter, you know, to the four winds. And when they do that, it makes it increasingly more difficult for grandparents to have a role in teaching children and being of a benefit to their upbringing. Grandparents are influential and should remain influential in the lives of their children and in their grandchildren. But yet, sometimes we don't think that's all that important. I wish that my children, when they were younger, had been able to be around my parents more. My parents lived in Colorado. We lived in Houston. It's over 1,000 miles. I think my kids missed out on some things. Not because I think my parents, our grandparents, our grandfathers and our grandmothers are influential and valuable. In God's plan, He has made it such that if one man and one woman come together in marriage and rear children, that's God's plan for the family and the home and for the nation. His plan never was a fragmented society or a fragmented family. The ideal woman invests herself in her children. Joseph Stalin made the statement. He said, America is one generation away from becoming an atheistic nation. And that's probably true. Because when one generation fails to teach their children about God's ways, then we're on the road to destruction. When one generation of mothers fails and abandons the house of God and fails to teach their children about that, nothing but harm can come. When one generation of mothers throws morality to the wind and turns their children over to somebody else to raise, then you can count on it, there's going to be problems. When God gave us children, it was for us to rear. Not for somebody else. Not for the church. And it's not the church's responsibility to teach children about God. That's parents' responsibility to do that. But oftentimes we think that it's enough to come on Wednesday and Sunday and our children are going to learn what they need to know. That's not enough. Chapter 3, it's fraught with difficulty. And in the first century, I can imagine how difficult it must have been. Because there were people that were coming to Christ. One member of a family was, and another member was not. And then they had to figure out how to live together. It wasn't easy. It's not easy now. But God knows best. He's our Creator. Do you believe that? Do you believe that He has your best interest at heart? He does, you know. And He's given us a book to help us see that. God is a merciful God. And whatever your background is, whatever your station in life, whatever difficulty you have had to come through, God is there to help you. He has provided a way. You may have come out of abusive situation and difficulties that are unimaginable for us to even think about. God can help you. He has not abandoned you. Don't abandon Him. And don't abandon His ways. His ways are the best. And it is the best anybody has to offer because He is God. Go back to the book. See what the book says. Read it over and over and over and over again. passages about the roles of men and women in the home are not passages that are just to be discussed. When you're having a class about family or when you're thinking about getting married, there are things that we need to be thinking about all the time, because we will never reach the pinnacle